The idea, at least what I can gather from my readings in the history section of the Century City Library, was that the Reds figured if there was an entire army they had to take out somewhere, they could just drop one of these babies. A conventional nuke. Even one of your big boys, like, say, a 10 meg, will only kill for a range of about 8 to 10 miles. But an advancing army is more likely to take up to 50 spread out, with flanking actions and all. So the 100 meg was designed to actually destroy an entire nation's army. Maybe 500,000 to 1 million men.
That's horrifying!
But apparently, when they had the first strike, they decided to throw in the kitchen sink too. So they sent these babies over. God knows where the others landed. This looks like it did major rearranging.
They moved at a medium pace forward until they came right up to the high-sloped wall of the blast crater. Dean Keppel looked straight up in the air at the structure.
I swear, it goes up into the damn clouds.
We're supposed to climb that?
The four delegates from Century City looked up at the ominous crater wall for a long time before Roxon finally responded.
Yeah, let's climb it. We can reach the summit before nightfall and camp there.
They headed up, the hybrids slowly and sure-footedly making their way up the sharply slanted wall. It took them a good 3 hours to get to the summit, the brids very carefully picking out a route up the bomb crater. Their riders swayed back and forth and held on tight, grasping their arms around the creature's wide necks. Somehow, they made it, though. Dean Keppel and Miss Goldman looked a shade of swamp green after a while.
Whoa, Snorter!
Roxon got to the top first, and the Palomino ambled out onto a wide plateau, several hundred feet across. Rock first looked back to see how the others were doing. Miss Goldman was still a good quarter mile below with Dean Keppel, and Chen was keeping watch on any falling delegates. Rock took a quick scan of the land behind them, small hills of the bomb-melted rocks, then the orange zone, then hills, and more hills. From up top, the ravaged terrain took on an eerie beauty, creating a mosaic of shapes and color like some huge abstract painting. Not a thing grew on the charcoal-like dirt on the other side of the crater. Not the tiniest weed, not the smallest insect. The crater was cursed. Rock took out his field glasses to view the endless alabaster white desert beyond the craters. It took up the whole horizon, every direction as far as his binoculars could see. White. A brilliant, blinding, saturating white. Rock had never seen anything that looked so smooth, so perfect, without a dot of color to mar the whiteness, without a rise to break the absolute flatness. There was an almost hypnotic pulsation to the entire terrain. It was hard to believe the vast stretch of land was natural. It had such a precision, an evenness to it, flatness calibrated to the millimeter. He aimed the rad meter down the long, curving slope of the inside wall, this side not nearly as steep as the outside wall. Medium count, tipped to the 40s already, and he knew when they got to the bottom it would go a lot higher. But there was no turning back. They had only one way to go, straight north.
Two delegates, coming up.
Dean.
Oh, Rock. I'm fine. I'm just absolutely beat.
All right, then. Let's set up camp. We'll need tents tonight. Up here, there's not much protection if a storm should come.
Far off in the distance, like mountains in the sky, Roxon saw a migration of immense dark clouds that he didn't like the looks of at all. He had the party set up two tents, curved like little balls, nylon with alumisynth collapsible frames. The pegs had to be set very deep because of the porous ground, but they struck some sort of hard surface after about 18 inches. It was Rock's turn to cook. He didn't like the chore and feared the results, yet he made the most of it. Dried deer chunks sautéed in dandelion with cactus juice. He prepared it in a small pan Chen had produced from his saddlebag. They sat around the campfire, eating the delicacy from metal cups.
Well, this is, certainly different.
Yeah, I know. But you should really try my cactus needle and sand sauce. Made it a few times when we ran out of everything and we were in the middle of nowhere. Chen's at it. He'll tell you.
The best. makes being lost in the desert with no supplies, no directions, and no water a real treat. I recommend it highly.
Rock had been right in his premonition of a storm. They had barely bedded down, Chen and Rock in one of the ball tents, Keppel and Ms. Goldman in the other, when the winds picked up, gusting and blowing at the balls of nylon and super light alloy. Within minutes, the monstrous clouds hit them with a vengeance. Rock and Chen had been through it before. They knew that the tents could take it. They had been designed in one of Schechter's field equipment labs to take winds of up to 180 miles per hour. They both listened to the fury of an enraged nature, and from their years of training, were actually able to fall asleep in the midst of the titanic blowout. In the other tent 6 feet away, Ms. Goldman and Dean Keppel were not faring quite as well. Every bolt of lightning made them jump. Every explosive gust that shook their nylon walls made them cringe. They talked to each other to try to stay calm about anything, pretending, wishing they were back in Century City having an afternoon tea at one of the restaurants. But somehow, when morning dumbly rolled over and opened its rain-clogged eyes, everyone was still alive. Stumbling out onto the crater plateau, Ms. Goldman and Dean Keppel were groggy-eyed and weary, but extremely happy just to be alive. They talked all morning, recounting their long night. Terror turns to adventure once it's over. They'd have some great stories to tell their stodgy colleagues back home. They loaded up the brids and started cautiously down the inner crater wall. The going was better down than it had been up, and as they headed down the slope, the angle of descent grew easier. After only about an hour and a half, Rock's Palomino reached the very bottom and started out onto the extraordinarily flat terrain. The whiteness was even more pronounced now that they were right on it. With the sun beating down from almost directly overhead, it was like a mirror beneath their feet, blinding. Behind him, the other three edged carefully forward. Everyone was tense, even the mounts, who sensed that this was not the usual ground beneath their feet. The surfaces appeared to be solid, in fact, flawless, without a crack or a seam. But it had a very strange texture to it. Hard, but brittle. So brittle it felt as if it might crack like a piece of glass.
Chen, what do you make of this?
You mean the ground?
Yeah.
I would guess that the heat of the bomb blast actually melted and fused the ground, much like lightning striking sand creates glass.
If that's the case, then I guess... Hold on. Shit, we're up to 70. We better pick up the pace. I don't want our charges to end up with cancer in a year.
The hybrids themselves seemed extraordinarily skittish, as if each step they took had to be felt out before they put their full weight down.
Look! Up in the sky!
There's... vultures?
Big ones, too. You think they know something we don't?
Mr. Roxon, are you sure you know where we're going?
Ms. Goldman, we're all keeping an eye out for you.
Huh? What's going on?
Easy, Snorter. Everybody keep low. It's an earthquake. Dean Keppel, make sure your grid doesn't...
Whoa!
Huh?
What the hell was that?
I think it was a minor tremor of some kind. I just hope... Oh!
The ground is opening up!
The hairline cracks widened and grew within seconds to black rivulets, then chasms, creaking, opening into bottomless darkness.
Chen!
Rock, where are you?
Just hang on! Chen! Chen!
I'm over here, Roxon.
Do you see Terry?
I think so. But you're going to have to get her yourself.
Why?
The Chinese free fighter was about 150 feet away on an island of the Crystal Rock, surrounded on all sides by immense chasms.
She's behind you, and not moving.
Shit. Terry. Miss Goldman.
Mm.
You're alive, thank God.
Is that you, Mr. Roxon? What happened?
Take it easy, Miss Goldman. We were in a quake. You're gonna be all right.
Oh, God.
Easy, Miss Goldman. It'll be okay. I've got to go help Chen.
Where's Dean Keppel?
Chen, you see the Dean anywhere?
No!
Around Rock, the hybrids lay on their sides, trying to right themselves. Two left. He rushed to Snorter, who was shakily standing, his knees half buckling as he tried to regain his equilibrium.
Easy, boy. We're okay now.
The Palomino seemed to relax at his touch, trusting the master that things were in fact all right. Rock took the rope from the side of Snorter and tied it around the saddle horn, then led the Palomino across the relatively flat terrain to the chasm that separated Chen.
I'm gonna throw you a rope, okay?
Oh, I don't know. I've got my own little island here, Rock. Maybe I should stay. Peaceful. Quiet.
Catch the rope, Chen.
Got it, Rock. But there's absolutely nothing to tie it to. I'll have to swing over. Pull the bridge back about 10 feet.
Come here, Snorter. Now, stay.
Chen took a tight hold of the inch-thick nylon, stepped to the very edge of the crevice, and jumped. He swung down in a long arc, kicking out at the last second before he would have crashed into the opposite fissure wall. As soon as he had stopped swinging, he quickly pulled himself up hand over hand and appeared at the edge at Rock's feet. The Doomsday Warrior reached down and grabbed hold of Chen's hand, pulling him up with one strong motion.
That's better. What's the damage report?
Two brids gone, and none of us can find Keppel.
Shit. We didn't need this. Didn't need it at all.
The two free fighters walked back to Ms. Goldman, who was now standing and drying her eyes.
I'm sorry I broke down, Mr. Roxon. I'm all right now, I assure you. Where is Dean Keppel?
Look, Miss Goldman, the Dean...
Keppel? Dean! Where are you?
Miss Goldman, stay right here.
The two free fighters ran back to the nearest gorge and peered down into the darkness. Dust was still settling, but it looked as if one of the brids was lying on its side, head twisted grotesquely to the side, some 200 feet down. Rock grabbed his field glasses from his pack on Snorter and focused down into the fissure. Yes, Keppel's brid, with its large brown circle on the side. He moved slowly along the rocky cavern far below and found a shape. He focused. It was hard to tell for sure, but it looked like Keppel.
Chen, get our med kit. We're gonna have to go down.
Do you think we can help him?
Only one way to find out. Dean Keppel, can you hear me? Dean! Shit. I think we should both go. No telling just what we'll find down there.
They threw some supplies over their shoulders and tied the two ropes together, putting one end around Snorter's saddle horn again. Roxon went first, moving slowly as his eyes adjusted to the darkness. He had to move carefully to avoid the sharp, cutting fragments of rock poking out everywhere from the walls. Within minutes, both had rappelled down to a ledge about 30 feet above the brid and Keppel.
Well, that's it for the rope. We'll have to climb down from here.
He turned on a small flashlight he had taken from his field pack and clamped it to his utility belt, stuffed to the brim with cartridges and other military hardware. They looked around, on the alert for the unknown. They were in a large cavern on a 10-foot ledge. Below them, the space widened greatly, with what appeared to be small circular tunnels leading off in all directions.
What the hell are those tunnels?
I think I know, and I hope we don't find out.
They climbed down, using the outcroppings of sharp rock on the fissure walls, and dropped down to the cavern floor. There was blood everywhere. The brid was a mess, its legs all broken and bones poking through at odd angles. Its neck looked to be broken in several places.
Goodbye, boy. I'm sorry it had to be like this.
They quickly made their way across the cavern, able to see only dimly with Rock's small flashlight. There, a human form covered in blood. Rock leaned down and turned Dean Keppel over. The face was a pulpy mess, the nose smashed all the way to one side, one of the man's eyes sliced in half, dripping a sticky liquid. His arms were both broken, hanging at the side like snapped twigs, and his chest seemed to have been half crushed on one side. Chen reached over and put his fingertips against the scholar's throat.
Believe it or not, Rock, he's still alive. Pulse faint, but there.
Can you do anything for him?
Rock, I know this sounds terrible. He would have probably been better off dying. I have no supplies at all with me for this kind of injury. If we even move him, we may sever his spinal cord or push a bone through his heart. He's obviously suffered massive internal damage. I don't even know where to begin.
Don't worry about the fine points. It happened, and now we have to deal with it. One, we've got to move him. Down here, the cold, Christ knows what else will do him in hours anyway. We'll have to rig up some kind of lift, get him up top, see what we can do. There's no choice. Stay with him. I'm going back up to jerry-rig a stretcher.
The climb was a lot harder than the descent had been. Rock had to pull himself up hand over hand for 200 feet. His muscles bulged with oxygenated blood as they lifted his 230 pounds to the surface. Ms. Goldman practically fell over when she suddenly saw his hand appear over the edge of the crevice.
It's okay. I've come to get some more supplies.
You mean the Dean is alive?
Barely. I wouldn't get my hopes up.
He gathered the materials he needed and a second flashlight from Chen's pack and headed down again. This time, the descent was quick and easy, as he knew the footholds and outcroppings. He reached bottom and went over to Chen, who sat next to and behind the wounded man, touching the base of his neck with his hands.
I'm trying to increase the Qigong flow. Not that it will help, but...
We're doing all we can. We can't ask for anything more.
Roxanne set about putting the makeshift rig together and within 10 minutes had made something that looked like it would work.
Let's roll him over real careful onto it. Better to roll than lift. Don't want to put any strain on the spinal cord.
They got the profusely bleeding Keppel onto the cot, a blanket with a tent pole along each side, and tied him securely down.
Right. Now all we have to do is get him up.
They got on each end of the contraption and began walking slowly across the rock floor.
Is that what I think it is?
Shit. Megapedes.
From out of the circular tunnels were pouring megapedes. Hundreds of them. They were all nearly 3 feet long, with slimy brown bodies and thousands of tiny undulating legs moving them forward at a high speed. 4 long hooked mandibles opened and closed like threshing scythes in each jaw, snapping, anticipating dinner.
Oh, shit!
Put Keppel down, now!
With clockwork precision, they placed the wounded man on the cavern floor and drew their weapons.
Don't wait for a good shot! Fire!
There's more coming!
They're in a feeding frenzy! We need to find a more defensive position! If we could just get back to the ledge, we could hold them off.
They both turned and looked to see a carpet of the giant carnivorous insects coming straight for them.
Maybe I can clear our path. Let me throw my knives, then we'll pick up Keppel and make a run for it. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan.
Right, go! Go! Help!
Go!
We're halfway there!
10 feet ahead, 4 megapedes blocked their path.
I'll take a left.
They were almost at the ledge now, stepping over bits and pieces of killer bug that covered the cavern floor. The new waves of the things had once again been slowed by their insatiable hunger as they devoured the bloody flesh that was everywhere.
Mate, no one.
They had only seconds at most.
I'll drop the rope. Tie to the stretcher and then get your ass up here.
Rock reached the upper ledge in seconds and dropped down the end of the extra rope he had brought. Chen tied it quickly to the end of Keppel's rig and then lifted it so Roxanne could get a good start on pulling it up. As soon as it was upright, he too shot up the cave wall, grabbing handholds and pulling himself up. He joined Rock on the ledge and helped him pull. The angle was bad, and the stretcher kept catching on outcroppings, but slowly, slowly, the mangled Keppel rose. Suddenly, one of the megapedes darted out of nowhere and up the wall toward the rising rig, now about half up to the ledge.
Jesus! Look!
Everything happened in a millisecond. Roxanne held onto the rope with his left hand and pulled his pistol with the right. The megapede seemed to understand that the rope was holding its meal up and rushed past the bleeding body. Rock pulled the trigger. But the damage had been done. The rope holding Keppel snapped.
Careful!
Keppel's mangled body fell back to the cavern floor. Within seconds, a swarm of the things was on top of him, ripping at the flesh, sucking the blood from the gaping chest wound.
Oh, God.
Without hesitating, Chen pulled out two of the exploding star knives and threw them at the Dean.